Hello and welcome to episode 717 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan. I'm one of the co-founders here at ETR, as always joined by Evan Silva, fellow co-founder, and the NFL draft went down this past weekend. Very exciting times, no matter what Bill Burr says. Evan, how's it going today?
It's going great. It's nice to have all this, you know, new data in the books. And I mean, I spent like the last couple of days, you know, just pouring into draft grades. I know that people criticize draft grades. Oh, it's meaningless. But like you can, you know, try to nail down a team's process. Think about what veterans did they acquire in exchange for draft picks? Like, you know, the Bears acquired Keenan Allen, for instance. The Titans acquired L'Jarius Sneed. That should be a part of the draft grades. And then you can also look at teams like the Eagles acquired two future mid-round picks in next year's draft. And whereas like the Lions gave up several picks in next year's draft. So those are other ways to analyze the draft apart from just player takes, which, I mean, everyone has player takes, right?
Sure.
And they're fun to discuss, but there are a lot of angles that you can take when breaking down a team's draft.
It's like anything else, process over results. And that's something we're always trying to stay focused on. On today's show, we are going to go team by team through each franchise's draft, discussing Silva's grades, what the teams told us, fantasy implications, and more. Before we get into it today, important announcement. Please listen up. Important announcement. Best ball season is now officially here, and we are excited to announce we've launched our own new Best Ball premium product. It's $39.99 for the whole Best Ball season now until week one. Contains uploadable rankings and tiers for drafting on every site. Of course, we are continuously updating those. Some cool new data we'll be coming out with soon. Tons of strategy articles, weekly Q&A with Leone, other members of our team, tons more. If you're interested in playing Best Ball, which is draft-only fantasy, honestly, one of my favorite forms of fantasy at this point. If you're interested in playing Best Ball, head to that tab on establishtherun.com for the content schedule, FAQ, and more. So again, the Best Ball tab on establishtherun.com. Be sure you check it out. For DraftKit Pro members, we'll have content schedule announcement there soon. We were adding a ton to that product as well, mostly in the form of helping regular season-long players while the season is going on. So stay tuned there if you are not a Best Ball bro. All right, let's get started here. We are going to go through each NFC team in this episode. Next episode, we'll be hitting each AFC team, going in alphabetical order here, starting with the Arizona Cardinals, who, of course, had the number 4 overall pick. There were plenty of rumors that they could trade out of that spot, decide to stand pat and take Marvin Harrison Jr. Evan ended up with a B, which is pretty good for Evan, actually. If you guys know Evan, he's a very tough grader. A B is a pretty good grade for the Cardinals here. Evan, what do you think of their draft?
Yeah, speaking of grades, I saw that some other website gave out 12 A grades. So 12 out of 32, that's more than 33% of the league got A grades. I think I gave out 3 or 4. So B is definitely a good grade. First of all, the Cardinals need a lot of help. So they came out of this thing with 12 picks. I really like that. This is Monty Ossenfort's second draft. And I think his process, second draft as Cardinals GM, and I think that his process in both of his drafts has been really impressive. Obviously, Marvin Harrison, that's a no-brainer pick at number 4. Darius Robinson, the defensive lineman out of Mizzou, a little bit of like an end tackle tweener and a little older. That was the one pick that I didn't really like. But Max Melton, Nick Saban called Max Melton his favorite. And Nick Saban is like a longtime defensive backs coach. Max Melton, his favorite sleeper in the entire draft. So that's how they started. And then we get to Trey Benson at number 66 overall. I think that he will become an upgrade on James Conner sooner rather than later.
Trey Benson was Mike Renner's number one running back in this draft. You can go back and listen for more on that in the episode, the running back episode with Renner. James Conner is entering his age 29 season, has missed a handful of games in each of the last 4 years, always seems banged up. So I actually really like this landing spot for Trey Benson. We're going to talk more about rookie landing spots in future episodes, but I really like this one for Trey Benson. Other thought that I had was just Kyler, man. I mean, I'm glad they stuck with 4 and took Marvin Harrison for Kyler. He now has Marvin Harrison, Trey McBride, Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch. Like, it's not great, but you add in Kyler's rushing ability. We're up to QB9 on Kyler right now in our initial best ball rankings, just ahead of Jordan Love, but behind Joe Burrow. I also know a lot of people like this Tip Reman kid out of Illinois, the tight end, but it looks like he's going to be blocked by Trey McBride, so not the best landing spot for him.
Yeah, I do think he's like the perfect kind of complement to Trey McBride on the field from a real life football standpoint, because he melts face masks as a blocker. Trey Benson, 216 pounds, ran 4.39, averaged over 6 yards per carry in college, over 11 yards per reception, home run hitter. One last thing, Marvin Harrison. So Kyler Murray, you know, he has some issues throwing over the middle. I mean, it's hard for him to see over the offensive line. A lot of shorter quarterbacks have that issue, but he is awesome throwing to the perimeter. You think about that one big season that DeAndre Hopkins had in Arizona. Marvin Harrison is a great tactical fit with Kyler Murray.
All right, let's go to the Atlanta Falcons. We talked about this a ton on the last episode we did Friday. Hopefully you guys all listen to that, but the Falcons got an F, a failing grade from Professor Silva here after they took Michael Penix at 8 overall, despite signing Kirk Cousins to $100 million guaranteed. The other one that raised eyebrows, at least for me, and I don't know anything about defensive tackles or whatever, but everybody had Jerzon Newton ahead of Ruke Ahorohoro. And of course, the Falcons, that's 35 overall, take Ahorohoro. The very next pick, Washington takes Newton. So it feels like most of the league preferred Newton to Ahorohoro. But yeah, F from Silva. Go ahead, Evan.
It was a draft that wound up being centered around a multi-year backup quarterback in Michael Penix and a bunch of non-premium positions. So, I mean, I don't think you can do a whole lot worse than that. Michael Penix is about to turn 24 years old. He's undergone two ACL reconstructions. He struggled in both the national title game and at the Senior Bowl. And at very least, they're going to burn half of his first four years because Kirk Cousins, they can't get out of that contract for at least 2 years. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. And the beneficiary behind him was the Bears, who we will get to. Mm-hmm. But that was a huge beneficiary. And then Ruke Ahorohoro.
Oh, man, I really butchered. They're going to be all over me. I really butchered that one.
the Falcons traded up for him, and they gave up too much to move up 8 spots to go draft Ahorohoro over Johnny Newton. Yeah. And Ahorohoro had 12 career sacks as a 5-year player in college. Brandon Dorlus is another end tackle tweener. I mean, I would be really pissed if I was Kirk Cousins. And I mean, there are rumors that Cousins' camp and his agent are like, what in the heck did the Falcons do here? Because the whole point is to build, you know, maximize your draft picks. They came out with a multi-year backup quarterback and a bunch of non-premium positions.
Not a rumor that Cousins' camp is pissed. I mean, the agent put his name on it. He was like, that we expected to get somebody that can help us win right now. And I actually do think the Falcons are the best team in the NFC South, in spite of what they continue to kind of trip over their own feet here. Last 4 years, they've had four top 10 picks. Kyle Pitts, of course, didn't use that much last year. Jonnu Smith almost had as many catches. Drake London, haven't used him enough. Bijan Robinson, didn't use him enough. And now Michael Penix, another top 10 pick, who they definitely won't use. So just an absolute mess for the Falcons here. I get what they're saying, that they're not going to be drafting this high again. If they have a chance to draft a quarterback they think is a franchise guy, they have to close their eyes and just do it. It just does not make a lot of sense. And you're overconfident in your evaluation of Michael Penix. You know, that's, people get all tripped up all the time. You want more darts at the board, not assuming that you can pick the right dart we'll see on Michael Penix, or maybe we won't see for a couple of years. Panthers got an F also from Silva here. Traded into the first round to take Xavier Leggett. Second pick was 46 overall on Jonathan Brooks, the running back, of course, coming off an ACL. Another F here, Professor Evan. Go ahead on the Panthers.
So if you were a fan of the Bucks or the Saints and you weren't super thrilled with their draft, just know that the other two teams in the NFC South division absolutely blew it. And the Panthers, they were already, you know, shooting from a position of weakness because they're paying taxes on last year's trade for Bryce Young and also the signing of Miles Sanders. I mean, they draft a running back who, look, Jonathan Brooks, I think, has a chance to be really good in the NFL, but he is still a running back at a non-premium position coming off a late season torn ACL. They traded up for Xavier Leggett, who, I mean, shaky evaluation, profile similarly actually to Jonathan Mingo, who did not have a good rookie season. I guess the Panthers have a type, not a very good type. Jatavion Sanders, you know, he's got some potential as a seam stretching tight end, but, you know, probably going to be a part-time player because he's not a blocker and he does not run after the catch. Those are some glaring red flags. There's a reason that he dropped to, you know, the top of the fourth round, but just did not come away impressed whatsoever with the Falcons or the Panthers drafts. Both got Fs.
Yeah. The Leggett thing, I understand when people start saying, oh, he's the next Debo. And I heard the Jonathan Mingo comp also. When people say he's the next Debo, that scares me, man, because there is only one Debo and he is a massive outlier. And that scares me when people start comping guys to Debo. The Jonathan Brooks thing is funny, especially in the context of how much money they paid Miles Sanders last year. Now, they say they love Miles still. I know Dave Canales is new here. Miles lost his job to Chuba Hubbard last year after they paid him $25 million. Then they use a round two pick on Jonathan Brooks. I could see someone like the Cowboys calling the Panthers and be like, hey, we'll give you something for Miles Sanders, but you're going to have to eat a bunch of that cap hit. It's $7.7 million, fifth most among running backs here. So we'll see on Miles Sanders, but maybe they have plans to move on from him, even though they're denying it right now.
I do think that the Panthers deserve a little bit of credit for getting Diontae Johnson at a very, very, very low cost. So maybe I should have given them a D-.
Yeah, I mean, I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to get Bryce Young more weapons. They invested a ton in the offensive line in free agency, in the draft. They get the wide receiver, the running back, the tight end. They add Diontae Johnson. They're trying to get him more weapons around him. It's just shaky.
Yeah, look, if Dave Canales can, you know, resurrect the career of Bryce Young, everything's going to look a lot better. So,
yeah,
but I don't think that they maximize their picks here.
All right, let's go to a team that Evan gave a very good grade to, B+, the Chicago Bears. Of course, everyone knew they were taking Caleb Williams. They sit tight at 9 and have a gift, in my opinion, fall into their lap in Rome Odunze. I am calling this, Evan, the greatest pass catching core ever for a number one overall pick. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. Very, very exciting for Caleb. What do you think of the Bears draft?
Yeah. And they also get credit for this year's number 40 overall pick. That's Montez Sweat, who made a huge difference for their defense. They had a top 10 defense down the stretch last year after his acquisition. And Keenan Allen, they got him for pick number 110 overall. And he's going to be a rookie quarterback's best friend, I think. So you're starting there. You take, you know, a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback who really was a Heisman Trophy contender for all three seasons in his college career. I mean, I think Caleb Williams is a baller. You benefit from the Michael Penix pick. Take Rome Odunze. That's a best case scenario, I think, for the Bears. And then, I mean, the tackle that they got out of Yale is really interesting at number 75 overall. I think he slipped a little bit. He finished his career. He needed quad surgery and missed his final 6 games in college, but he's an interesting prospect. I dinged him for taking a punter in Torrey Taylor out of Iowa, but man, I'll tell you what, a lot of reps for Torrey Taylor punting at Iowa. So he's not going to come into the league unprepared or raw or inexperienced or anything like that. I mean, he won the MF and Ray Guy Award. And I don't usually like when teams trade future picks, but in this case, Austin Booker, defensive end from Kansas, fell way too far, and the Bears went up and got him. And I like that pick.
Yeah. Seemed like the Bears were open to trading out of 9, but once Odunze fell to 9, they're like, we have to take Rome Odunze here. And I like that, especially given Keenan Allen is on a 1-year deal. Caleb is going to be a factor in fantasy right away, and we'll obviously be talking about this plenty over the next few months, but our initial ranks have Caleb Williams, QB 12 for redraft, right behind guys like Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence. So, I mean, Caleb Williams is going to be right in the mix for a starting fantasy quarterback right away. Dallas Cowboys are next. They received a C from Evan. I mean, this team had so many holes going into the drafts. Left tackle, center, linebacker, wide receiver, defensive line, running back. Everyone is killing them for not addressing the running back position and signing Zeke here today. We're recording this Monday afternoon. They signed Zeke Elliott this morning back. Everyone's killing them for not signing a running back. I don't know, man. When you have that many holes, how can I kill you for not drafting a running back? But Evan, what do you think of Dallas's draft?
Dallas just came into this draft with a lot of needs, and it was just going to be almost impossible for them to fill them all. They did at number 29 overall, Tyler Guyton. He's a little bit on the raw side, but he's got a lot of upside. He's a massive, massive dude. In the second round, I know Dane Brugler loved Marshawn Kneeland out of Western Michigan, a small school pass rusher who just above average athleticism. So we'll see on that. They made a trade down to acquire the 73rd overall pick and used that on Cooper Beebe, Kansas State interior offensive line. He might be the answer for them sooner rather than later at center, I believe, after they lost Tyler Biadasz in free agency. Again, just had a lot of needs. We're never going to cover all those bases. I think it was like sort of a meat and potatoes sort of draft. Yeah. I gave them a C.
Yeah. I mean, look, they made their own bed by not getting out in front of contract extensions. Like you see the Eagles constantly getting out in front of their own players and extensions. It frees up so much cap space, cutting players early. Instead, Cowboys know they have to pay CeeDee. They have to pay Dak. They have to pay Parsons. They can't do anything in free agency. It's just, they have so many holes and they're so thin. Now, back to the running back position here for a second. There are guys that could come available. I mentioned Miles Sanders. What about Damian Pierce, who's fallen out of favor in Houston? What about Jeff Wilson, who's now the running back four in Miami? What about Jordan Mason? The 49ers took a running back. Like, there's running backs that maybe Dallas could get for cheap. They just can't afford to pay anyone under the cap, but we'll see there. And obviously the Zeke Rico thing is interesting. Dattle has certainly gotten a vote of confidence from the Cowboys here, but adding Zeke and then probably adding something else at some point. We have a bunch of unlisted work right now in projections still for Dallas.
I like the Damian Pierce idea a lot.
Yeah. Let's go to the Lions. So, of course, Lions offense was very strong last year. People were picking on their secondary, and, you know, that's how we got into these wild Lions games where their offense was so efficient and their defense was struggling. They used each of their first two picks at the cornerback position. Evan, you gave them a C+. What about the Lions draft?
Yeah, this offseason has been largely dedicated for the Lions to fixing their secondary, which makes all the sense in the world because they really couldn't cover anyone for the vast majority of last season. They traded for Carlton Davis, and then they traded up to go get Terrion Arnold, who a lot of people thought is the best cornerback in the draft. I get both of those moves. Ennis Rakestraw out of Missouri. A lot of people thought that he like had first-round talent, but he did not run well. He was in the 4.6s before the draft, so he slips to the end of the second. But again, those are three big secondary additions: Carlton Davis, Terrion Arnold, Ennis Rakestraw. Why I dinged the Lions in terms of their draft grade, I gave them a C+, and I like the players that they got, but they wound up trading away their third rounder next year and their fourth rounder next year. And that was in order to get massive project with upside, British Columbia offensive tackle Giovanni Manu, and then a guy who projects as a special teamer. They listed him as a running back and a safety, Sione Vaki. Mm-hmm. So, like, I like the players that they got, especially up top, but those trades away are why I ding their draft grade. And people are like, I would be worried giving them a bad grade based on what happened last year, where everybody hated their draft and then they were awesome. I don't care about last year. You know, I'm trying to break down the process through that they used here, and giving up those, and it's supposed to be a much deeper draft next year. So giving up that third rounder and that fourth rounder for next year, I mean, that's a little bit of a tough pill to swallow.
One note I had from a fantasy perspective, good run out for Jameson Williams this offseason. Josh Reynolds is gone. They didn't replace him. They didn't take a wide receiver in the draft at all. I mean, behind Amon-Ra St. Brown, they have Khalif Raymond, Donovan Peoples-Jones. I don't think those guys are real threats to Jameson Williams playing time. We could see Jameson Williams as like a 90% route guy this year, and that's certainly exciting. Let's go to Green Bay Packers. Predictably, I mean, it was a massive favorite that the Packers are going to use their first-round pick at the offensive line position. They do that, 25th overall, with Jordan Morgan. Evan gave them a B-. What about the Packers draft, Evan?
Yeah, the Packers are very focused on relative athletic score, and Jordan Morgan blew it up as he was a 92nd percentile RAS scorer, and I think that they are going to give him a shot to be their left tackle of the future. They made a trade with the Saints. They only moved down four spots in the second round, and they picked up two picks to do that, number 168 and number 190. I like things like that. And then they still came away with Edgerrin Cooper, who had a lot of first round buzz.
Yeah.
So that those are the kind of moves that I like. I like to upgrade the draft, the draft grade of a team for. You move down four spots, you pick up two extra picks, and you still get a stud at the number 45 overall selection. He should be a long time star. Edgerrin Cooper is a stud.
Yeah.
I really like the pick of Marshawn Lloyd. People were like, oh, that might be redundant with Josh Jacobs. First of all, we love AJ Dillon as a human being, but as a player, he leaves something to be desired. Marshawn Lloyd, 220 pounds, runs 4.46, a lot of impressive things on his tape. And Josh Jacobs only has a 1-year deal in Green Bay.
I had the same note on Marshawn Lloyd because it stood out to me. Daniel Jeremiah actually had Marshawn Lloyd as number one running back in this class. And they were able to get Marshawn Lloyd here at 88th overall. Immediate upgrade to me on AJ Dillon, right? Like, would not shock me right out of the gate if Marshawn Lloyd wins that backup job and is behind Josh Jacobs there ahead of AJ Dillon. Let's go to the Rams. Rams got a C+ from Evan. I really thought they were going to use their first round pick on offense. I heard from a reliable source that they were actively trying to trade up to get Brock Bowers. But when Brock Bowers surprisingly went 13th overall to the Raiders, that was out the window. So they end up with the 19th overall pick and Jared Verse. Evan, what'd you think of Rams draft?
I gave him a C+, and I'll explain why. I mean, Jared Verse, I think, was a steal. I think he fell further than people expected. Number 19 overall, banged out an obvious need for the Rams. That's really, really nice. But then they gave up a second round pick in next year's draft to go up and reunite Braden Fisk, mm-hmm. Florida State defensive tackle, with Jared Verse. I don't know if you saw the phone call. I mean, it was an awesome phone call, an awesome moment, reuniting those dudes. Really cool, but it cost them a second round pick next year.
That's expensive, so, yeah.
Yeah, and Braden Fisk is going to turn 25 early next year. So overaged, defensive tackle, and costs them a bundle. And then they go and draft Blake Corum, who they openly compared to Kyren Williams. That makes it feel kind of redundant. I mean, I like Blake Corum. I had bets on him to be the first running back drafted. He was the third running back drafted. I think he's got he'll be a multi-year quality player in the league, but he's kind of redundant with the running back that they already have as their number one. They definitely cannot use Kyren Williams like they did last year, though, because he's going to break down if they do that.
Well, maybe that's what they're thinking, right? The way they use running backs is they play every snap, they play every down, and until the wheels fall off, then you have someone else that can do that again in Blake Corum. So I actually think that the pick of Blake Corum was interesting from the standpoint of it is going to be very clear the handcuff potential of Blake Corum. If something happens to Kyren, like, Blake Corum is going to be an awesome pick, an awesome guy to have, assuming Sean McVay likes him. If Sean McVay likes you and you're a running back, I mean, you're going to be a fantasy star for sure. One other small note I wanted here. No wide receivers until round 6 in Jordan Whittington for the Rams here. DeMarcus Robinson, who iced Tutu Atwell down the stretch, appears locked into the wide receiver 3 role. And when you play wide receiver 3 for Sean McVay, you're on the field every single snap. And DeMarcus Robinson certainly had some good games for fantasy down the stretch last year.
Yeah, they gave him a 1-year, $5 million deal.
Yep.
He's like a journeyman You know, that was more money than I was sort of anticipating DeMarcus Robinson getting. I thought he'd be more like a league minimum player, but they gave him a decent little one-year deal.
Yeah, he's on the radar for sure. Okay. Vikings got a B- from Evan now. They were widely speculated to want to move up and get Drake May or one of the other quarterbacks. It turns out they only have to move up one spot to get J.J. McCarthy at 10th overall. And then at 17 overall, Dallas Turner somehow slipped to them. Dallas Turner's stock was kind of falling over the last couple weeks ahead of the draft. Talent certainly appears to still be there. To me, at least, Evan, what'd you think of Vikings draft?
So the Vikings have the ability to drop J.J. McCarthy into like the most favorable offensive environment that you can think of outside of like San Francisco. Kevin O'Connell has shown that he's sort of like a quarterback, quarterback kingmaker is what I wrote in the draft grades. He gets to play indoors. Justin Jefferson, T.J. Hockenson eventually will return. They have a good offensive line. He's set up to succeed. I don't care what your opinion of J.J. McCarthy is right now. He is set up to succeed. They get him on the rookie contract. Like, that's a plus EV move in my opinion. And then going to get Dallas Turner. Now they have their quarterback and their franchise pass rusher now on rookie contracts. The thing is, they had to trade up to get these guys, and they gave up a ton. They gave up their 2024 second round pick, two fifth rounders this year, and their second, third, and fourth round selections in next year's draft. It's a lot to give up, man. And I understand it, and I think that they are plus EV draft selections in J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner, but the cost I think was exorbitant, and that's why I gave them a B-. They also came back and drafted a defensive back out of Oregon, Kyrie Jackson, who turns 25 during the upcoming season. So, I understand what they did, but the cost was exorbitant.
Did you see their GM took a shot at the spreadsheet socialist? He said something like, I'm a spreadsheet nerd also, but sometimes you just got to go get your guy or something along those lines is what he said.
I love that. You know, maybe Leone could listen and learn a thing or two.
One note I had for fantasy, they did not add a single running back in this class, not even in the UDFA pool. They didn't add a running back. So Ty Chandler, real solid behind Aaron Jones. I know that they signed Aaron Jones, but I think they still really like Ty Chandler, who was strong down the stretch.
Aaron Jones is just not a running back that you can use on a full-time basis.
Yeah.
So I think Ty Chandler will have a role. And I anticipate being higher than market on Ty Chandler.
Let's go to the New Orleans Saints. Everybody knew they were zoned in a tackle. I think it went off at like -400 favorite for the Saints to take a tackle with their first pick. They do just that, taking Talese Fuaga 14th overall. Evan gave them a C. What do you think of Saints draft, Evan?
They're another trade up team. So they went up and got Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback out of Alabama. I love that they can pair him with Marshawn Lattimore. Also, this is probably Marshawn Lattimore's last year with the Saints, but it cost him two picks to jump four spots. It cost him the number 168 and the number 190 to jump from 41 to 45. So that's a thing that I kind of ding them for. They didn't have any picks between 41 and 150 overall. So they got Fuaga. That was an obvious need, and I think that he's a high floor player, 6'6", 326 pounds. I think he's going to be a stud right tackle for them, and they got a starter at corner. But then they didn't get any likely near-term contributors the rest of the way. I think that Spencer Rattler in the fifth round was worth it. But he's a backup to Derek Carr. I love Bub Means, Pittsburgh wide receiver. I love the name, but, fifth round wide receivers rarely work out. And his college production, not a high-end college producer.
Let's go to the New York Giants. So this was really interesting. There were a lot of reports out there that the Giants were trying to trade up with the Patriots to 3 for Drake May. They could not get it done. Then at 6 overall, they had Michael Penix available to them. They had J.J. McCarthy available to them. They had Bo Nix available to them. Decided to pass on all. Instead, take Malik Nabers. And, I think Malik Nabers is going to be an awesome pro and an awesome fantasy player. From a Giants perspective, you have Daniel Jones coming off an ACL, could slash should be ready for week one. But if the Giants want to get out from Daniel Jones in 2025, they can for like $22 million in dead money. So they had a chance here to address the quarterback position, decided not to, and went Nabers. Evan, what do you think of that decision? And what do you think of the Giants draft?
Well, you have to include Brian Burns in this draft. They gave him a lot of money, which offsets it a little bit. But he's their second and fifth round pick, and he's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. Malik Nabers, I think that they're, you know, Brian Daboll, they probably saw a lot of Stephon Diggs, peak Stephon Diggs in Malik Nabers. I think that Malik Nabers was the most naturally explosive wide receiver in the entire draft. Loved him at number six. And then they went hard at the secondary, which is they're rebuilding their secondary. They drafted Tyler Newbin. I believe he was the first safety drafted. They got him out of Minnesota. And then Andrew Phillips is going to play slot corner, I believe, for the Giants. And then in the fourth round, they took a shot on Theo Johnson, who's an absolute freak athlete who, you know, we've talked about the Penn State players not being coached up properly, you know, poor quarterback play. So he didn't put up big, big numbers in college, but I think that he makes sense as an addition, a compliment to Daniel Bellinger, because it looks like Darren Waller is going to retire.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people like Tyrone Tracy as a sleeper in this class. Devin Singletary, not the biggest obstacle. So, you know, round five, I typically just write off at other positions, but at running back, my eye is at least on Tyrone Tracy here.
Yeah, the spreadsheet socialists don't like Tyrone Tracy because he's old. He's like 25, but 96 percentile relative athletic score, really good with the ball in his hands, a big time kick returner. I gave the Giants a B because I think that they got 4.5 contributors, or, you know, between 4 and 5 early contributors and 2 really high impact ones, probably in Malik Nabers and Tyler Newbin.
Eagles were active in this draft, man. I think 8 trades they made or something crazy like that. You could make a case that the Eagles had a bottom 3 defense over the final 2 months of last season. They addressed that immediately. 22 overall, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, and 40th overall, Cooper DeJean, the high school basketball hoopster himself at 40th overall. Evan, you gave them an A- here. What do you think of Eagles draft? And by the way, during draft weekend, they also signed AJ Brown to that extension.
Yep. So the primary reason that the Eagles defense collapsed, and this was an issue also all year, is because they were just slow in the secondary. So slow. Darius Slay's 33. James Bradbury will be turning 31 in August. Bradbury had a really bad year. So it made all the sense in the world. First of all, they got kind of fortunate, I would say, for Quinyon Mitchell to fall to them at number 22. But that's a great situation. And then they go get Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. I think that he dropped out of the first round because most teams saw him as a safety.
Yeah.
But you know, the Eagles are so in need of just talent in the secondary. Like, they can go the coaches can figure that out. You know, you just go get to Cooper DeJean with all that athleticism and college production. And he was a great return man, too, in college. That was a great situation. Clemson running back Will Shipley had an awesome 2022 season, was hurt a lot in 2023, but a really good pass catcher, maybe probably a talent upgrade on Kenneth Gainwell. And then they came out of this draft, as I mentioned at the top, with an extra third round pick next year and an extra fourth round pick next year. They now have 2 third round picks, a fourth rounder, and 2 fifths in next year's draft. So I love this because Howie Roseman really, you know, short-term upgrades for sure, immediate help in the secondary, and then he's still building for the future. I mean, that's how you do it.
I know Johnny Wilson has some huge fans out there. He lasted until the 6th round, 185 overall for Johnny Wilson. Just an incredible size-speed combo. I know some people, like Renner, thought he should move to tight end, but I know Amico loves Johnny Wilson, and like, it wouldn't shock me if at some point Johnny Wilson has wide receiver 3 routes in him as soon as year 1 here. Not a ton of competition here. They do have DeVante Parker, Paris Campbell behind AJ Brown and DeVonta Smith right now. Let's go to the 49ers. So we talked about the 49ers stuff a bunch on Friday. You can go back and listen to that episode. Again, they took Florida wide receiver Ricky Pearsall at 31 overall as the Debo and Ayuk rumors continue to swirl. Evan gave them a B minus. Go ahead on the 49ers, Evan.
Yeah, I gave them a B minus because I think that they didn't necessarily extract maximum value from all their picks. And the way that I characterize this draft is pretty team specific, which I think that's great. I mean, I like their draft. I mean, I gave them a B. I gave him a B minus, but it's still a B. And Ricky Pearsall, like I thought that he was more of like a late second round type player. They took him late in the first. He's a big time athlete. His addition allows them to potentially part with Debo Samuel. And it just seems like everybody loves him. I mean, he's going to be 24 years old for the duration of his rookie season. So he's not the absolute cleanest of prospects, and he wasn't super, super productive in college, but man, he's an awesome scheme and tactical fit in Kyle Shanahan's offense. Renardo Green, 6'1", 186, sub 4.5 40, had some great tape against LSU's wide receivers this past year. And then Dominic Puny, I think he actually may end up as their starting center. He played guard at Kansas. And then Malik Mustafa, the safety out of Wake Forest, best tackling safety in the draft. I know you're going to want to talk about Isaac Garendo.
Yeah, I mean, just a hashtag team preseason guy for sure in Garendo. Yeah. Only two players, and this is from Dane Brugler, only two players in the last 20 years have weighed 220 pounds plus and run a 4.33 or better, DK Metcalf and Isaac Garendo. That's it. I mean, this dude is a total freak, and it would not shock me if he's better in the NFL once he's coached up in the Shanahan scheme than he was in college. It's certainly scary that in college, like, he was playing behind total dust balls at Louisville and Wisconsin. So yeah, you know, still excited about him, but and want to see how it goes, but it would not surprise me if Garendo ends up having an impact in this scheme.
Number one speed score running back in the draft.
Yeah, insane. Seattle Seahawks had, for me at least, a boring draft because they didn't really take any skill players. Evan gave them a B minus. What do you think of Seahawks draft, Evan?
They address needs for sure. I mean, and I think that Byron Murphy came at a really good value. I thought that he had a real good shot to be a top 10 pick, but you know, that Penix selection messed a lot of things up from a draft slot projection standpoint. He falls to number 16. They get a great value there. They needed help big time on the interior defensive line, and they also needed help big time on the interior offensive line, and they addressed that with Christian Haynes. I thought that Christian Haynes actually had a chance to be a late first round pick. He goes at number 81 overall. I know that we had on Jordan Reed before the draft, and Jordan Reed, Christian Haynes was one of Jordan Reed's favorite players in the draft. To get him in number 81, I think that he could be a year one starter, Christian Haynes out of UConn.
Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks are so deep at the skill players. I mean, they go two deep at running back, three deep with good players at wide receiver. Tight end is fine with Noah Fant. Like, not surprised they didn't go with any skill here, really. Let's go to the Bucks. So Bucks got a B minus from Evan, 26th overall. They had Graham Barton slide to them. And to me, that was one of the bigger surprises from at least the offensive line. I thought Graham Barton was for sure going to go in the top 20 here. He slides all the way to the Bucks at 26. Evan, what did you think of Tampa's draft?
Yeah, I thought it was real solid. I thought it was the best in the NFC North. The other teams kind of struggled a little bit. The Saints were okay. But yeah, you know, Jerry Dulac, who has consistently predicted the Steelers' first round pick, had them taking Graham Barton at number 20 overall. They did not do that, obviously. And so I thought that Graham Barton came at really, really good value. He had an unbelievable pro day, big time athlete, can play all five positions on the offensive line. I think that he will settle in at either center or left guard. They got Chris Braswell, Alabama pass rusher, in the second round, 6'3", 251 with 4.6 flat speed. He had 8 sacks last year in the SEC. And then in the third round, another SEC pick, Tykee Smith, safety slot corner hybrid. Jalen McMillan, God, Washington was so loaded on offense. You know, they had two early picks. Both their offensive tackles were early round picks. And they had three wide receivers drafted within the first three rounds. You know, Michael Penix's supporting cast was so loaded mm-hmm. at Washington. I think that Jalen McMillan will play slot receiver in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and Mike Evans is going to be 31 in August, and Chris Godwin's contract is up after the 2025 season, so not the worst landing spot for Jalen McMillan. We'll talk more about that on the ranking the landing spots episode.
We should mention that Bucky Irving out of Oregon was a really good inside the tackles runner yeah. in college, and that is not Rashad White's strength. So I think that Bucky Irving, he went at pick 125 overall, fourth round, has a real shot to be the complement to Rashad White.
Yeah, and one of the reasons that Rashad White was so valuable last year is that he didn't have a complement, right? I mean, they just had him out there for every single snap. So we're going to continue to look at the splits that we have for Tampa's backfield. Last NFC team is the Washington Commanders, who, you know, Schefter came on this show and got it wrong with Adonai Mitchell, but he was spot on that the Commanders were zeroed in on Jaden Daniels very early in the process. He also came out today and said that not only was the pick Jaden Daniels, but it was never going to be Drake May. They were deciding between JJ McCarthy and Jaden Daniels. The Commanders did not think that Drake May was in that tier. So Evan ended up with an A minus on the Commanders draft here, the first of the Adam Peters era. Evan, go ahead on Commanders.
Yeah. And for a team that had a little bit of a rocky pre-draft process regarding their quarterback, you know, the Jaden Daniels situation where it seemed like Jaden Daniels maybe didn't want to play for Washington. The agent was out, like, you know, posting weird stuff on Twitter. And I guess they wound up mending fences, and Washington took Jaden Daniels number two overall. I think that's, you know, for a team that had to kind of go through that pre-draft process, and a team that has been an organization that has been through so much following the Dan Snyder era, I thought that they knocked this out of the park. Johnny Newton falls to the second round. I thought he had a chance to go number 23 overall to Minnesota, but he falls to number 36. He's the second best interior three technique pass rusher in the draft behind Byron Murphy. He fell because there's a Jones fracture in his foot, but Washington ends up being the beneficiary of that small fall. Mike Sainristil, Michigan slot corner, it is an absolute stud. This is another guy that Nick Saban talked up big time. Nick Saban had awesome draft analysis, by the way. If you can go look at clips of that, I mean, I would search for that on social media. Ben Sinnott, we talked about him potentially being the number two tight end drafted in. He did wind up being the number two tight end drafted out of Kansas State. Tested really, really well. Really good blocker, and I watched the in draft phone call between Adam Peters, who was from San Francisco, and Ben Sinnott, and Adam Peters was like, you know, I see a lot of like George Kittle in you, and George Kittle was a guy who didn't have a ton of college production, but had the athleticism, could block, and obviously, you know, has blossomed into one of the best tight ends in the league.
Yeah, I mean, meteoric rise for Ben Sinnott, who I believe had to walk on at Kansas State, ends up being productive and then doing really well in the post-draft process, rises all the way to 53rd overall. Just from a fantasy perspective, to reiterate, so the reason that it's like controversial, or maybe not controversial, but some people think May is a better dynasty pick than Jaden Daniels is because of bust rate, right? Like Jaden Daniels appears to have a higher bust rate based on his profile versus Drake May. However, if Jaden Daniels hits, to me, he hits in a really unique way because of the way that he can run and his floor is higher. I mean, over the last three seasons, one at Arizona State, two at LSU, 39 games, Jaden Daniels ran for 2,729 yards and 27 touchdowns. I mean, not Lamar as a runner, but getting into that stratosphere. So yeah, still want to be really high on Jaden Daniels.
One thing more about Sinnott, I watched the call between him and Adam Peters, and they were showing Sinnott. He had two babes on each side of him. So I guess the girlfriends put aside their differences and they were there to support their man, the man, Ben Sinnott.
All right. We better end there. That is going to do it for this look at team by team look at the NFC draft recap. We'll be back next episode to go team by team through the AFC. For producer Luke, for Evan, producer Ryan, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.